This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. A 45-page, four-count indictment announced Tuesday against former U.S. President Donald Trump details his efforts to cling to power in the 2020 election. But Trump's lawyers saying the indictment is an attack on free speech. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
This is the first time that the First Amendment has been criminalized.
John Lauro tells NBC's Today Show people around Trump were telling him there were problems with the 2020 election.
He had every right to comment on that and act politically. In a criminal case, what they would have to show is all of that speech was not entitled to First Amendment protection.
Special Counsel Jack Smith alleges Trump's words themselves became part of the crime.
Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government.
Counting and certifying the vote. Trump has a court date tomorrow, and the judge will decide whether the ex-president will appear virtually or in person. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Despite the indictments against him, Trump remains the leading contender for the Republican nomination for the 2024 race. VOA's Anita Powell reports.
The former president has spun his serious federal indictments to his political advantage, claiming the charges are politically motivated.
These are ridiculous indictments, and all they're doing is hoping for massive election interference. That's all they want to do.
With every new indictment, he gets a boost in the polls, giving him a double-digit lead in the Republican race for the nomination. And surprisingly, Trump's many presidential challengers say they agree with him, as do some prominent Republicans in Congress. This support, says University of Texas history professor Jeremy Suri, may be in the candidate's self-interest.
The support that Trump is receiving comes from the fact that the Republican primary system is a messed up system. It's a system that gives a small group of Republicans, they turn out and they don't represent the party, but they do provide the key votes that determine who will be the nominee of the party.
Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA News. There are about 1,100 U.S. troops in Niger operating out of two bases to assist combating militant groups. But after a July military coup ousted President Mohamed Bazoum, it remains unclear how Washington will proceed. Reuters correspondent Jillian Kitchener reports.
The American mission in Niger has wide-reaching implications. Here's Reuters U.S. National Security correspondent Idris Ali.
There's a situation where Niger has basically playing two roles. Firstly is the counterterrorism training the United States is providing to troops in the country so that they can then go on and do counterterrorism missions in the region. And secondly is the drone base in Agadez, which has come at the cost of over $100 million, where the U.S. essentially flies armed drones from and carries out strikes in the region.
Pentagon spokesman Pat Ryder on Tuesday told reporters that counterterrorism operations are suspended in Niger and the U.S. remains in close contact with the military.
Pope Francis is in Portugal to open the first post-pandemic edition of World Youth Day. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Francis is hoping to inspire the next generation of Catholics while coping with the fallout from the ongoing clergy sexual abuse scandal. More than 1 million young people are expected to attend the gathering in Lisbon. That takes place over several days. Temperatures are forecast to hit 95 degrees Fahrenheit or higher by the weekend's final papal mass. Francis is expected to meet private with abuse survivors. Portuguese bishops were criticized for their initial response after an independent commission reported in February that nearly 5,000 boys and girls were abused in Portugal since 1950. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The medical peace organization, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, called Wednesday for protection of the Ukraine Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the largest such facility in Europe. Speaking at a news conference in Vienna, members of the group called for the creation of a non-military zone around the plant and urged the member states of the Treaty of Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons to enforce it. Institute of Safety and Risk Sciences analyst Bernard Herdy told reporters the plant has become a potential weapon since its occupation by the Russian army in March of 2022.
The power plant has become a weapon of war, a pre-positioned dirty bomb, if you will, posing a danger to millions of people in Ukraine, neighboring countries, and the whole of Europe. Its security has become a bargaining chip in this war. We believe that the right to be spared from radioactive contamination should remain non-negotiable.
A study on the possible effects of nuclear meltdown at Zaporizhia was commissioned by the group and presented at a conference in Vienna on Wednesday. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.